The Latest News, The Gifted episode 1 review, and an interview with Emmy Ikwuoka from Inhumans coming up on this week's episode.
I have an army. We have a Hulk.
Hello and welcome to a new series of Marvel mini episodes from We Have a Hulk Pod.
Yes.
I'm your co-pilot, Christopher.
And I'm your host, Nicola. So in this episode, we're going to be going through the latest Marvel news from this week. We're going to be reviewing the first episode of The Gifted, so the new X-Men TV show. And we've also got a special interview from Emmy Ikwuoka, who is Gorgon from The Inhumans. You're just going to keep saying the whole episode. Okay, so on with the news. So, we have a new Punisher promo.
Right, I just watched the trailer.
Yes, I can't believe you haven't watched the trailer already.
I mean, it looks good.
It does look good. I'm so excited for this.
It looks Punisher.
It does look very Punisher, funnily enough. And we have Metallica going with it, so that was pretty interesting.
I think the one thing that I don't necessarily like about it, I've had this issue with a lot of their costumes and that. They look a bit too, you know, nicely made. I feel like with the Punisher, it should almost be like his symbol should be like it's been spray painted on or something,
Spray painting it on.
Yeah, but I mean, in a way that looks more like he actually did it rather than it being some sort of template. I don't know. I mean, obviously that's the Punisher symbol. I get it. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like maybe it would have been nicer if it had. Never mind.
Very aesthetic. So this trailer. So basically him just kind of walking past like three times. So we had his past with his family and his kids. And then the second time he walked past, it was like him with his like when he was in the army or whatever it was. And then the third time, it was kind of... it was the logo, pretty much. Him turning around and then the logo. So they're still not telling us the date.
That was pretty awful, wasn't it? I mean, it doesn't look great, this promo thing. Do you think?
I think it looks fine.
Oh, okay. I kind of thought, you know, he's just walking through. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking in there, sort of...
their reasoning. I mean, they seem to be releasing one, like, nearly every day.
Right.
So they're just, I just feel they're like just they're trolling us. Pretty much. And they're just still not telling us the date. So I don't know. Is it going to be this month or is it going to be November? I mean, Netflix has got Stranger Things coming up.
Right.
That's Halloween. I think it's being released. So it's either going to be before then or after then. I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no one knows.
What time did it come out? I mean, what time did like what about the other shows?
I don't know. We got Jessica Jones in March or May. So this is the last one of the year.
You know, with like Apple, you can reasonably predict when they're bringing out the next product.
Okay.
So maybe there's someone's worked out like reasonably when you can predict the next.
Maybe.
Okay. Someone do that for us. And then
someone
give us
please
the link.
Tell us.
Thank you.
So next up, we've got the new promo for the next episode of Marvel's Inhumans. So that, this was out on Friday, the previous Friday.
Right.
And also in IMAX. So
let's
watch it and have a look. So yeah, we just watched it. What did you think of that one?
Yes.
It looks much of the same.
Yeah. It looks all right.
But weirdly enough, it looked like there were Cyclops in there, right?
Yeah, it kind of looks like
that. Which is a bit weird.
Are they allowed to do that?
Yeah. But yeah, it looks pretty good. So it looks like there's going to be a couple of showdowns. So Maximus is sending some more Inhumans down to help the lady. I can't remember her name. The lady who's trying to track down Black Bolt and Medusa.
Right.
And it looks like there's going to be a
Auron.
Auron. Okay, so Auron, I think so. So it looks like Auron's going to have a showdown with Gorgon, which was kind of interesting because he's like the head of like security for them, isn't he?
Right.
So he's like this big warrior. So that's going to be kind of interesting. We also get a couple of shots of Lockjaw. Yay! So it looks like he escapes the room that he's been imprisoned in because it was really sad. So yeah, I am open to watching this one again.
Okay, I'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So next up, we have a really interesting theory, actually. So moving on to Thor, because we're going to have a little bit more on Thor, because that is out this month, and I'm so excited.
I can't wait for this one.
So we've got a new theory about the Last Infinity Stone.
Yeah, yeah.
kind of interesting. So the Soul Stone is left. There's been some theories that Heimdall's had it.
I mean, I think there's a pretty convincing theories just from what I've seen. But yeah. I like this idea too.
Okay, so yeah, there's a quite a popular theory that Heimdall has it, which would kind of make sense, right?
Because he has the glowy eyeballs.
Yeah, he does.
Eyeballs. He has the glowy eyeballs.
There's another theory that Hela has it, which I haven't actually heard about. I'm not sure about that.
Maybe.
The new theory is that Odin has it, and he's been hiding it kind of in plain sight, which is kind of cool. So there's a theory that he's actually got it in his eye with the eye patch over it.
I like that.
I think funny. That's kind of cool. So that kind of makes sense why Hela would be after him, right? Because she wants the last Infinity Stone, because if she represents death, death in the comics is kind of with Thanos. So death's with Thanos. So Thanos has obviously got the Infinity Gauntlet wanting the stone. So that kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So, kind of interesting. But we haven't seen Odin, the real Odin, for a while now, since the end of Thor, because Loki kind of, took his identity.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting to see where
he's
like
the idea that they had that plan the whole time and no one leaked it.
Yeah.
And I like things like that, where it's I actually thought this early on and we've kept it from everyone.
Yeah.
Well, but then, obviously, someone's come up with a theory now, so...
Wow. It'd be kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Next one, with our Thor extravaganza, we've got a new TV spot featuring Loki. Give that a watch. So yeah, I think that was a really good... I think it was only 14 seconds long or something, but there was a little TV spot and it was kind of teasing the team up.
Yeah, it was edited together in a way that kind of tells a little story, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of reminds you of the previous films and stuff and yeah, I like it.
We had some new footage of the Hulk, which is quite funny. No team, only Hulk. So that was pretty cool. So it's kind of those guys assembling in a way, because obviously they're going to be the ones who take down Hela, I think.
Right.
So we got Loki, we got Thor, we got Hulk, and we got Valkyrie, which is kind of cool. And then this is a really funny scene where Thor points to Hulk and he's talking to Loki and he's like, look who it is. And then Loki's like, I need to get off this planet.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. I really like that. It's quite funny.
Definitely.
We also have another bit of marketing from Thor Ragnarok coming up. Because it's the start of October, Marvel tweeted that they're going to be doing Halloween, #Halloween, with a picture of Hela. And basically, every day, there's going to be a new piece of Thor Ragnarok content. So I don't know if you remember at Christmas, there was 12 days of Deadpool. So they released kind of a new thing every day. So it's kind of like that. And yesterday, the first day they announced this, they released all the Thor Ragnarok emojis on Twitter, and they were really cute. I'm really excited about this. I don't know about you.
Yeah. I like, she's got green eyeballs there.
She does have green eyeballs. She's got sparkly eyeballs. What do you guys think about these Infinity Stones?
I think it's misinformation at this point. They're just trying to, they're like, oh shit, they got it right. So now they're just putting out more information.
Could be this guy. And the last bit of news, we get an Old Man Hawkeye prequel, which is really cool. If you've read Old Man Logan, you know that. Basically, Logan, when he was older, teamed up with Hawkeye when he was older to kind of take this package, secret package, to somewhere.
Yeah.
And basically, it was just a ruse so they could fight against the baddies.
So they could steal their clothes or whatever.
Yeah. So the series will be written by Daily News alum Ethan Sachs and illustrated by Marco. Oh, help me out on that one. Marco Giacchetto.
Is that a bit like Geppetto?
I don't know. He does Star Wars Captain Phasma, which is actually really amazing. I don't know. I've showed you the comic, didn't I? And I was like, look how pretty it is. So it will take place 45 years in the future from the current timeline, but 5 years prior to the events of Old Man Logan. So it gives you a little bit of a backstory. I think why he was the only one that survived from the Avengers. Pretty much, and why he went and then sought out Logan, I guess. But Axel Alonso, Marvel Editor-in-Chief, says Old Man Hawkeye is, on its own terms, an epic story. Readers will gain insight into previously established characters, explore new corners of the wasteland, meet new characters, and discover exciting Easter eggs all throughout Clint's journey.
So is it based on Old Man Logan film or Old Man Logan...
The graphic novel. So basically it's exploring, as they said, the wasteland. So, the bits with the crazy dinosaurs and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be definitely cool. So the first issue is set to be released in January. Oh my gosh, that's a long way.
Not that long.
I suppose so.
That's 3 months, isn't it?
Yeah, true. before turning into a 12-issue monthly series. So they also went on to say that in the story, he's losing his vision because he has like one eye, doesn't he, in the graphic novel? Not yet. So that sort of forces him to confront something really horrible that happened to him personally 45 years ago and go on his own journey while he still can. It's very much like a ticking clock that's forced him into action. So yeah, I'm really excited about this. We got on the front cover, so it's basically mainly, obviously, Hawkeye. We've got a little bit, I think that's Old Man Logan, right?
I think so, yeah.
It's got to be. Got the amazing car that they travel in. That looks pretty cool. And I don't know who these guys are. There's like three mysterious figures. Which is kind of interesting. But if you head over to Comic Book, which got the quote, then you can see the front cover and have a look for yourself. And let us know what you think. So yeah, that was pretty much all the roundup of the news, weekly news from Marvel. So let's kick it off with our...
Gifted review.
Yes. So The Gifted is Fox's latest X-Men TV series. This follows Legion, which was earlier this year, which was absolutely amazing. And yes. I know you loved that, didn't you?
Absolutely.
So this stars Amy Acker as Kate Strucker. She's the mum.
Yep.
You also know her from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's where I know her from personally. Yes. And also loved her on that. Stephen Moyer is the father, Reed Strucker, who you also know as...
Yeah, he's the guy in True Blood.
Yes. Right? He's the one that goes, Stucky.
Strucker.
We've got the two kids. So we've got Lauren Strucker, who's played by Natalie Allen Lind. So we've also got the brother, Andy Strucker, who's played by Percy Hines-White.
Right.
So this was directed by... The first episode was directed by Bryan Singer, who everyone will know from the first two X-Men films. And then he came back for, I think, one later on.
Right.
You know, they rebooted them. And the creator of the series is Matt Nix, who you know from Burn Notice.
Yes. Yeah.
Which you really enjoyed, didn't you?
I did enjoy that show. I never finished it.
Oh, good. You have this kind of habit of not finishing shows.
Well, I keep discovering new things and it kind of puts me up. Kind of, yeah, it's not like I don't intend to. It's just that things get in the way.
So the synopsis of this is two ordinary parents take their family on the run from the government when they discover that their children have mutant abilities. They then join an underground community of mutants who have to fight to survive. And bearing in mind, the father actually works for this government agency, right? Yeah,
Sentinel Services or whatever.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting. So, what were your thoughts of this then, Chris?
I generally like it when things that I like don't change, right? So, like, okay, I'm just setting some, like, context here.
Okay. Story time with Chris.
Yeah, like, I really love Kingdom Hearts, so when Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, I was like, okay, I hope it's much the same.
Right.
Because everyone always tries to up things, and it's not great.
Okay.
Or say, like, Halo, I would want Halo 2, etc. to be much the same, right?
Okay.
In this, it feels very much the same as X-Men.
Okay.
And for me, that's not positive because I am not really a huge fan of X-Men.
Okay.
The thing I really like about Legion is it was quite something quite different to the usual structure of X-Men.
It was just bonkers.
Right.
Completely bonkers.
Right. And,
yeah. And quite creative.
Quite clever. Mm. Yes.
Yes.
But this, I feel like it goes back to pretty much what X-Men is basically.
Yes.
And I didn't feel like there was anything really new to hook me into it. What about you?
I actually really enjoyed it. I liked that it's something new. I mean, some of the characters, we'll go on to this later, they are from the comics, but the main family, they're like nothing to do with like the comics or TV series or film, which is kind of nice.
Right.
So it's like a blank slate. You don't have to kind of
right.
follow conventional things with it. So that's kind of cool. I love the family and I really like Amy Acker from Buffy. I think she plays the mum really well. Stephen Moy is a really good dad in this. And you can kind of tell... It's kind of like a very typical X-Men story.
Yeah.
That they find their powers and then they're like persecuted. Yeah. And
persecution is pretty much the main thing.
But that's quite a relevant topic at the moment, really, isn't it? Especially in America. So it's kind of hitting some interesting notes. With like deportation and stuff.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. But I'm enjoying it anyway. I'm not sure about the Sea Kids so far.
Right, I agree, actually. Yeah. I think the adults are much more interesting to me.
And I'm definitely really interested in the other mutants because there's like an underground sort of thing going on. So they seem kind of cool. And I'd like to know a bit more about them because there's quite an interesting story going on there because one of them has been said that they're related to Magneto. So that's kind of interesting. But the interesting idea about this, I mean, I'll keep saying interesting, but you don't know the continuity. They say that the X-Men and the Brotherhood have gone, but they don't explain why, they don't explain what time it's in. So it's kind of like, it's very mysterious so far. I'm kind of picking up that vibe.
I didn't get any mysterious vibe, but sure.
Right. Do you want to kick it off with plot then? What were your thoughts on the plot?
Plot, pretty standard, I thought. I'm not sure I like the angle on the kids thing. I get it. And I think it sounded good.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's, you know, the whole, yeah, they're like kids and then they're discovering their powers and then they're having to go on a run.
Okay.
It makes sense, but I don't know if it's interesting enough.
Right. I quite enjoyed the plot for a first episode. It did what it needed to do.
Right.
About, like,
okay.
Set lots of different stories up. There was a cliffhanger at the end. We were not going to go into any spoilers because it hasn't aired yet. In the UK. But yeah, it kind of leaves it on a very interesting note. There's some interesting robots uncovered.
Yeah, I really like that.
Which was pretty cool. But we won't say any more about that, so don't worry. But yeah, I thought the ending was really, really strong, and I really want to watch the next episode after that.
Okay, yeah, I think I quite like the action in it.
Yes.
And I quite like the visuals. I thought the visuals were actually pretty good.
Yeah, like the powers and things.
The thing that you mentioned before. I think it looks good.
Yeah.
I think plot needs to get a bit more interesting.
It's a very generic X-Men plot. That's the whole thing. And if you're not a huge X-Men fan... Okay, well, yeah. If you're not a huge X-Men fan, then you won't be that interested in it because it is very...
X-Men.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But if you love it and you want to see, like, it kind of... The old X-Men kind of plot back, me, who loves the animated series.
I was saying, if I was really into that, then that is exactly what I would want.
Exactly. So it ticks a lot of boxes.
Like, swings and roundabouts, you know. Not everyone's going to love it.
Yeah.
But lots of people will love it.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's more sort of a family sort of thing, whereas Legion was more sort of
quite a new perspective take on
X-Men. Without basically powers, kind of.
With powers, but from a very different perspective of like mental illness.
Yes.
And just complete off the wall, what the hell is going on kind of thing.
Yeah, so moving on to characters. So as I said, we've talked through the Strucker family, which is kind of interesting. Also, their last name is kind of interesting because I think there's a very similar family in the comics, but I don't think they're based on them. But we'll see.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
The one that made Wolverine or whatever?
No, I think that was Stryker.
Stryker.
Yes, but it's very similar. Like,
you can understand why I would get these.
Especially like a casual X-Men sort of viewer.
Right.
Yeah, so don't get confused.
That name kind of got in my head and was like,
Stryker. But the other mutants are actually really interesting, and I'll just quickly do a quick run through. So we've got Eclipse, also known as Sunspot in the comics. This is the main kind of guy who was going to take them underground later on in the series. In the show. So his powers, he can absorb and manipulate photons. So he does like power beams and things. Yeah, he's glowy, basically.
He's a glowy one.
But you might have seen him in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Okay.
Yeah. We got Blink. Their power is teleportation, which they were also in X-Men Days of Future Past, but I think she's going to be very interesting.
Oh, is that the portal thing?
Yeah. Which is kind of cool. Yeah. I think that effect looks really good, actually. I think she's one to notice.
One to watch.
Thirdly, we've got Polaris. Is that how you...
Polaris.
Let's go with Polaris. Her powers are control over electromagnetic field. And who does that sound like? The one and the only Magneto.
Magento.
Who, if you don't know, which you should, is one of the main villains in
Yes, I am X-Men. Aware of Magento. Okay.
Magento. I love that colour.
I liked Magento.
Yeah. So Matt Nix has actually kind of revealed that she's indeed Magneto's daughter in this series. Because there's different kind of continuity things.
Right.
But yeah, it's kind of complicated. Any of Magneto's children are very complicated. Because you know, you got Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Because he has so damn many. Yeah. So they're obviously in Avengers.
Right.
And this is X-Men. So this is Fox.
Right.
And then you've got, well, yeah, it gets a bit complicated.
So different companies own different children of Magneto. Yes.
It sounds like it, yeah. but she is very interesting. She, in this series, is kind of seeing Eclipse. And the last one we've got is Thunderbird. So his powers are superhuman strength, speed, and sense. In the comics, he doesn't actually last long, so you might not have heard of him. But his brother took over his mantle and is known as Warpath. So okay. That's who you might have heard of. He's part of the X-Force, X-Men, and the Mutants, so he got around a bit. Also, a slight mention is Shatter, who was also in the comics. You will spot for like 2 seconds, so it's a nice little Easter egg.
Okay.
See if you can spot him and let us know if you do. So moving on to Easter eggs. So we kind of talked about that a little bit in the characters. But there are a couple dotted in the show. I'm not going to spoil any because I always like looking for Easter eggs. But there's one huge blatant slap in the face one that you looked at me and you're like...
Did I? What was that?
Yeah. So if you didn't spot that one and let us know, then I'm not calling you an X-Men fan.
It's so obvious, honestly. Yeah. Even I noticed.
Yeah, you did. You were like, oh, really?
It was too much.
But yeah, lots of nice Easter eggs, lots of nice references. So for an X-Men fan, you will appreciate this.
Okay.
Moving on to continuity. So we briefly talked about this. So weirdly enough, you don't know when it's set.
Right.
So it seems like there's been a bit of a cataclysmic event or something along those lines, because they say the X-Men aren't there anymore, the Brotherhood aren't there, they disappeared.
Really? I didn't notice any of that.
You weren't.
That happened.
This did happen. So yeah, I'm kind of trying to work out when this did actually happen.
Well, obviously Sentinel Services are doing the thing, so they've just captured everyone, right?
Wow, but why?
To protect the innocent humans, you know? They need to be protected from
humans
these
are super innocent.
Horrible mutants.
They need to be deported.
Yes, they must be deported over
dear.
The walls.
What does this sound like? We must build walls all around us. So basically, I feel like something must have kicked off with the mutants for them to go ahead and, like, just capture everyone. Because in some of the films, the mutants just live side by side with humans, don't they?
That's the whole struggle, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
The X-Men is that they're always fighting with the humans.
True. But I read an article recently that Matt Nix kind of revealed that there's been a cataclysmic event, a bit of a 9/11 event that caused enormous social upheaval and a lot of hatred towards mutants.
Probably that thing that happened in Logan where...
Well, you see, this is what it is. Everyone's been kind of talking about where does it sit. Does it sit just after Legion or is it kind of Logan?
Mm.
Because there was that thing with mutants, wasn't there, in Logan when Professor X accidentally like wiped out a whole load of them.
Right. Well, Legion was like 70s or something.
Yeah,
so
that was way back. Yeah, yeah. So this... does it sit like...
I don't know if this feels like...
Sorry, Chris's mouth flu.
I don't know if this feels like modern day to me. It felt a bit, maybe
in the
a little
future?
Bit older.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Oh, that's
I wasn't really paying attention. I need to look at that again, to be honest. But I don't know, the whole sort of prom thing that was happening seemed a bit old school. Do they still do those?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it was set in the modern times.
Sort of modernish times, yeah. I don't know whether it was slightly old or slightly new.
Mm.
It didn't seem like it was... long in the future, certainly.
Right.
If it was future, except for the one part.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so in conclusion.
In conclusion.
How would you rate this?
I would say, I think it's fairly well made.
Mm-hmm.
I think the acting was mostly good.
Yeah.
And I think the plot needs a bit of work, unless it doesn't.
If you're a fan of X-Men, I don't think it does.
I would just go kind of neutral for me. I'd give it like a... no thumbs up but no thumbs down kind of thing. It's not really for me, but I can see that it's decent enough. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so I really enjoyed this. If you are an X-Men fan, I definitely think there's a lot of Easter eggs that you'll enjoy picking up. The story's great. It's very X-Men, so very X-Men. You will like it if you do enjoy that kind of thing.
Right.
It's definitely not Legion, but it's something new, I think, and I'm very much looking forward to more. So for me, I think I'll give this 1.5 thumbs up, if you're allowed to give halves.
Of course. Unless it's like a...
So following The Gifted's US premiere on the 2nd of October, it's due to arrive here in the UK on Fox on the 8th of October at 9 p.m.
So the first guest on our Marvel miniseries is Emma Igwuka, who is Gorgon from the Inhumans.
Inhumans?
Inhumans.
Enjoy! So, welcome, Emmy, a.k.a. Gorgon from Inhumans. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
No problem. So, first question, how have things been since Inhumans was announced for you? I mean, like, you've been to Comic-Con. How was that?
Oh, it's been a dream. You know, being a kid and you know, going into this business, you know, you have dreams and realizing that, you know, with this job, you kind of meet those, and it's really a beautiful and humbling experience. We had the most amazing, you know, cast and crew, you know, in Hawaii, and it just showed us such an aloha spirit. And, you know, especially me for the first time going to Comic-Con and seeing that and being on both sides of the world and, I was able to walk the floor the first day, as a fan, and then the next day, you know, coming in for Inhumans, it's such a beautiful thing with such amazing energy. And it's kind of just been this, you know, fun and beautiful and crazy ride.
Yeah, I mean, did you fangirl over anyone when you're at Comic-Con?
Did I get to fan out a little bit? I did, you know, kind of.
Right.
I think it's just, I had a really cool thing where I was in the Marvel booth, because we had a signing the previous day, and then, you know, I come in and the next day, and they introduced me to Stan Lee, and then all of a sudden, like,
wow.
Yeah, Chris is just going to walk in, they're going to show you, and then, you know, Chris Hemsworth walks in, and, you know, Mark Ruffalo walks in, and I was like, where am I? What is going on here? You know, it's so cool being, you know, the Marvel family has just been so amazing, and has opened my eyes to so many different things. It's like, I can't believe, like, inside of me, I'm just, like, screaming like a little kid, but at the same time, I'm like, yo, Emmy, remain calm, you're cool,
I'm cool, it's fine,
cool, great,
yeah. So for anyone who hasn't heard of Inhumans, how would you describe the show?
I would honestly say that Inhumans is a family drama, where you're dealing with the dynamics of a family who happen to have superpowers. I think that's kind of the difference of, you know, the way that you look at, you know, other shows or even movies like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. With Guardians of the Galaxy, you're more kind of picking different people from across, you know, the galaxy. But this one, you're focusing more on the dynamics of one individual family, and you kind of start there.
Yeah.
So there's already that history that's built in. And then, you know, you're dealing with, at the end of the day, the family drama, and then they happen to have superpowers.
As you do, yeah. So what's the best part about playing Gorgon, then?
Gorgon was probably one of the coolest things I've got to do, mainly because of who this character is. I kind of describe, you know, Gorgon is this guy that acts probably five times before he even has the opportunity even want to think
yeah.
about the consequence. And, you know, he's kind of, I wouldn't say he's technically a loose cannon, but he has this freedom and he has this confidence to really just be himself because he's had the opportunity to do so. And even if, you know, he's a guy that, that looks at the glass as half full, I would even say that's an understatement compared to, you know, half empty. And
yeah.
Even in tough situations, he'll find the positive aspect to it, you know. And, you know, with Gorgon, he's, you know, the head of the Adelaide military. And, you know, when he stomps down, he has these, creates this, you know, seismic tremor of destruction. And I think, you know, being able to play a guy that, you know, that fed into his like inhibitions of able to just do whatever, was a really freeing process. Because you're really realizing not only about Gorgon, but I was also realizing a lot about myself. It's like, all right, so, you know, on set, and kind of in the time while I was in Hawaii, I would just go out and I started doing some really Gorgonic things, like just not thinking about my consequences, but it really fed into the character to be like, and it was really cool to get to a moment of being like, oh yeah, Gorgon would do this, but he wouldn't do that. And right. I thought that was a really crucial moment that was like, oh my God, like I'm really seeing this and I'm really living this guy of knowing what he believes is right and wrong and realizing how far he's willing to push himself. And at the same time, you know, really realizing how far Emmy Quarker at the same time is willing to push, you know, myself as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Gorgonic, is that a phrase you've just coined?
I did. I coined it.
Nice.
I was just thinking Gorgon and just add an egg to it, you know, just I guess I could say inhumanic. I could say also inhumanic, you know, I could also change many different things to that as well.
Well, I find it so interesting, like the difference between Gorgon and Karnak. Is he Karnak so calculated, whereas Gorgon just does it and he has a lot of fun with it?
Well, first off, working with Ken Leong is honestly like an actor's gift and an actor's dream. That guy is super talented, and being able to really, really play and really find out the dynamics of both of us was really cool. And we finally came up to this thing, which was we realized we're the same kind of person, meaning that we're both reckless. I'm more reckless and confident in my physical abilities, but he's more reckless and confident in his mental abilities.
So it is
that perfect yin and yang where we are kind of, look, if both of us were mixed together, we'd be the greatest, you know, inhuman ever, because we would just think that we're the greatest person ever. So really playing that and really discovering that thing about us and really understanding each other, because we're both actually kind of confidently careless in our abilities. And then I guess, you know, not giving too much, but it'll be a fun ride.
Okay.
Exploring that.
Yeah, definitely. So were you a Marvel fan before you got the role?
I was always a fan of Marvel. You know, I was always wanted to be part of the Marvel family. I watched like every movie of Marvel, and the only comic that I really remember reading though was Kick-Ass. Before going in, and I've always been a fan of Marvel, but I actually didn't get to know Inhumans until I auditioned for the project.
Fair enough. Yeah. Did you watch any of the TV shows before, like Daredevil? Or
I did. I binged Daredevil. I'm still like on the process of watching all of like Jessica Jones, Defenders, Luke Cage, and Agents of the Shield, kind of doing like a crash thing, watching all of those as well.
Nice, yeah. So how did you prepare for the role? Did you read any of the Inhumans comics at all?
Actually, what happened was right when I came in, I talked with Jeff and Scott. And I was like, actually, Jeff more, because I was just like, I sent him out a text, because when I got cast, I had about 3 weeks, I think, before I actually flew out to Hawaii. And I asked him, I was like, hey, do you want me to, you know, go online? Do you want me to do any research? Do you want me to do anything like that? And he's like, nope, stay with me, internet, and stay away from the comics. Let me do something slightly different. And I'm actually glad that I did. I did slightly cheat a little bit. I did kind of look at the images and stuff like that. I did. I'll be honest. I did do a little peeking. With that, I actually, I'll say the other reason is because, you know, there's so much of Inhumans with so many different iterations where it's like, well, which one do you stick to?
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, so which one, which story are we trying to tell? And then, you know, what is, which one would be the one that, you know, that I would see as Gorgon compared to what other people would see as Gorgon, because there's so many different types that, you know, to draft throughout the, you know, this the about over 50 years of Inhumans. But it was good because the way that I got into it, and it's kind of the way that I kind of get into a lot of characters, is I just believe that the way that you work out gives you the mindset of who that character is. So, you know, if a person does yoga, then I would do yoga. Or for this one, I just felt that this guy lived without any inhibitions and he would try to lift as much as possible. So I went on a workout regime, changed my diet. And during the preparation of the role, I changed my workout to try to get in the mindset of, well, how would this guy, the way that he's working out is probably the way that he would see the world. And that really helped a lot. So through the process, I think I gained 25 to 30 pounds for it. And then it really got me into the mindset of, okay, who is this guy? And at first I asked, like, well, what is different between me and Gorgon? And that kind of put me kind of like a rock and a hard place. But then it wasn't until I finally asked, you know, what do you and Gorgon have in common? And that kind of got me into this Gorgonic mind space as well.
So talking about, obviously, quite a big part of it, Lockjaw. What's it like filming the scenes? I'm guessing you got, like, a guy with a tennis ball on a stick?
Oh, no, we didn't. No. We had we had Stuffy on set, a big
Stuffy?
Blue. Yeah, he was a big blue statue of Lockjaw, basically.
Nice.
Who was large. We had him to basically have as an eye line. And then other times, we would not have him, and then they would be like, all right, so here's Lockjaw, here's kind of what he's going to be doing, and go. So it's kind of that. It was good because there was a lot of imagination in regards to who he was. And then, but then through the process, we, you know, they, as they were working on the CGI for Lockjaw, they would, you know, something like, all right, this is kind of what we have right now, this is what we're working on, to give us really that more of a mental note of, you know, how Lockjaw would look on a day.
Yeah. So if you could have, if you pick any superpower to have in real life, which would you pick?
I would do super strength.
Okay.
And the reason why is because I realize if you have super strength, you can basically do whatever you want. Now, that's kind of a joke that me and Ken Leong had. His was to fly. And I'm like, yeah, right. But hey, Ken, if you fly, then there's really no margin of error in regards to how you're going to land. Like, you need some strength to land, because if you fly once and you hit the ground too hard, you can die. So you will always need some type of strength, because it, with strength, I could, you know, get an object underneath me, like some type of, you know, a surfboard, fling it into the air, and I could glide through the air with my strength. Or if I'm in super strong, I don't need to be invincible because I'm stronger than everybody else. I don't have to be invisible. I could just punch through walls. So super strength, you kind of, for me, you get like the best of kind of everything.
That's a fair answer. So have you got any favorite moments from set at all?
I did. It's so tough because it's like, again, you're filming in Hawaii. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, amazing.
The beach is, it's amazing. So it's like, I'm going to say outside of filming on the island of Oahu, I really like the fact when we first all got into Hawaii, all kind of the executives and the writers, Megan and Jeff and Scott and the director, they sat us all down for the first, I guess it was like about a week and a half before we started filming. And they just went over everything with us as a blank slate in regards to, you know, what Marvel is and, you know, welcome to the family. And this is what Terra Genesis is. And this is who your characters are. And I really loved that collaborative process, especially kind of going into, you know, Marvel, that you think like, oh my God, it's going to be so strict and it's going to be this and that. And, you know, with them, there's a lot of collaboration. And as an actor, I thought it was such a beautiful thing to really construct this character and have this open door policy about, you know, who is this character and, you know, why this and why that. And, you know, it was a really cool way to start off and just, you know, be welcome to the family. And then, you know, there's just so many amazing moments on set in regards to just, you know, as you can tell with my character, there's, you know, there's stunts and just really being very physical. And then there's other moments of, you know, we would get the scripts basically, you know, kind of episode by episode. So it was really cool to kind of be a fan and not, and really kind of be like, well, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
And being able to be like, oh my God, this is what's going to happen next. Not really know until the very end. So it was really cool to really play that story out and the journey that all of these characters make.
Definitely. And you get to wear those lovely hooves as well.
Oh, yes. That was, as you noticed that I didn't say, yes, one of my favorite moments, and I didn't mention those.
How could you forget those?
The hooves, like I said, I have a lot of sympathy for women who I see wear those every single day. You know,
yeah.
You know, they're like about 6 to 7 inch, basically, like you were elevated 6 to 7 inches basically on my toes. And, you know, it was funny because before I started shooting, I changed my workout, and I'm like, you know what, I'm probably going to have to do a lot of calf raises. So I just focused a lot on my calves, and I just went to town on my calves. And then I yeah. didn't realize that when you're on heels, it's more quads than anything else, like you're doing a wall sit. So all that calf training went to absolutely no use.
Oh, no.
wearing the hooves was a great exercise. And yeah, now wall sits are just a breeze now. It's great.
Yeah. So we've had the first two episodes released in IMAX. What can we look forward to the rest of the series? Is it more action or more sort of family drama?
I like it because nobody knows where the show's going.
Yeah, very mysterious.
And the thing that I like about this show is that it is different. And, you know, coming in with the fresh eyes and seeing what we're doing, it's I'm really excited because there's a huge social element and there's a huge political element. You know, there's so many different elements. There's a huge family dynamic. There's a huge story and there's this huge arc that I'm really excited for people to see what happens. And again, you know, even kind of with the, you know, the first episode, you know, there's a lot of blurred lines on, you know, who are the good guys, who are technically the bad guys, you know, what do you actually know compared to what you don't know? There's a lot of mystery, and I'm really excited for people to see where this goes, and how, and especially how it ends. It's such a beautiful, I'm really excited because I think it's, I don't know, for me, because as a fan and as an individual, I'm really super excited.
Are you working on anything else at the moment that you could tell us about?
I don't want to give too much away just because I'm kind of in like Inhumans mode, but I just actually just got wrapped on another series for Netflix about a week ago. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be later on. Don't want to give out too much information because it's just kind of in Inhumans mode right now. But yeah, it's different. That one's a comedy, so it should be fun.
Okay, yeah, cool. So last one. So where can we look forward to Inhumans? So it premieres next Friday in the US?
Yeah, so in the US it premieres in the US on September 29th. It's going to be a 2-hour premiere. So basically it's what was aired in IMAX, but there's going to be about 10 minutes of additional footage.
Ooh.
on TV. And then, you're at, Sky One, this autumn as well.
Oh, fantastic. It's great to hear it's coming in the UK.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It happened. I think it just got reported just this morning.
That's so exciting. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for speaking with me as well.
No problem. Good luck with everything with Inhumans.
All right. Thank you. And pleasure. And all as well. And thanks again.
All right. Cheers. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for listening to this first episode of our Marvel mini series. If you enjoyed it, let us know, because otherwise we might not do them again. We'll see. Right. Yeah, I've been ill, so that's why we haven't done a proper release lately.
Mm-hmm.
But we have one coming up, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. So we'll do that at some point.
See, if you do want to get in touch with us, how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
So you can contact us on all the socials / We Have a Hulk Pod.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also on YouTube / We Have a Hulk. And our email is wehavahulkpod@gmail.com as well. Also,
that was beautiful. Beautiful segment. Thank you. So once again, thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you next time.
Bye.
This has been a production of the GWW Radio Network. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Also, check out Geeks Worldwide at thegww.com for all the latest news, reviews, and opinions on video games, comics, movies, TV, cosplay, and more. Geeks out!